What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, June 21st. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrew Renee.
That's me.
Welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
How you doing?
You know, I'm doing great. I think I'm finally pulling out of the E3 exhaustion.
Are you?
Yeah.
See, this whole week's adding to it for me, and I just can't get away from it. I'm just more and more tired every morning. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, you guys decided to launch a bunch of new stuff and overhaul your content the week after
because we're real smart
people. Ballers like that.
Hey, that's what, you know, that's one way of, that's one adjective you could assign to us. What have you been playing? What have you been doing?
Sorry, I'm just adjusting my mic real quick.
I'm not mad at all.
What have I been playing? Mm-hmm. I actually played What Remains of Edith Finch.
Ooh,
last night.
Love that game. Was that your first time through?
It is. Yeah, I'm going to talk about it on What's Good Games on Friday. So if you guys want to hear about my thoughts, check out that show.
Yeah.
There's lots of cool stuff happening this week, though. Surprisingly, Normally the week after E3 is kind of like a dead zone for news because everyone, you know, kind of shows everything they have got to show during our biggest week of the year.
Yeah, they brought out the big guns.
There's been some interesting stuff come up.
Yeah, a lot of interesting news. We'll jump into it right away. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we delve in to the biggest stories in gaming just for your amusement. You can watch it live over on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames as we record it. Sometimes there's problems and we don't know when we're kicking to us and stuff like that, but you want to know it if you're watching on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe. Remember, this show's still brand new. If you're one of the people downloading it as a podcast, please rate it, subscribe to it. Even if you're going to watch it somewhere else, it helps us out with the numbers. Of course, it'd be grand if you subscribe to the YouTube channel as well or followed us on Twitch or any of that stuff. But right now, we're going to focus on telling you, go to the audio things. Subscribe, like, share, all that jazz. And then remember, too, I mentioned it briefly yesterday in all the trophy talk and the Friday 13th talk. We're doing a community play day of Friday the 13th. We are doing it on this Friday, not the 13th, June 23rd. You can sign up by going to kindoffunny.com/F13. That's F13 right there.
I liked your rant yesterday.
Thank you.
I think it was justified.
I can't get over how many people are terrible at achievements and trophies. And I don't know... It's one of those, I think Xbox people have had it for so long. You know what I mean? And getting 1,000 points, I don't think, with all due respect. And let me know. Remember, correct us if we're wrong on the show by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. That's only for the people watching live. Go ahead and tell us what we're doing there. But I feel like, okay, I didn't get 1,000 points on this. There's a completionist aspect to it. But for kids who are like, man, a PlayStation kid who are like, I love a game so much that I would love to platinum it. And like, cause I that's like a, you know, the highest honor I can give a game that I'm playing, I feel, right? But like, like a 13 kills.
Impossible.
Get out of here. What are you doing? How are you doing this?
Yeah, I think that I agree with you. Devs should maybe look at it as something that's easier to achieve than harder because whenever you hit a platinum, it gives a notification to everyone in your network and then gives their game more visibility.
Right.
Why wouldn't you want that to be more accessible?
Yeah, especially for something. And I there's the case of like, okay, well, you want people to play a game like Friday the 13th, like Dead by the Daylight, over and over and over again, right? I get that. Make your trophies mid-range hard, where I'm gonna have to play a month or more of this game, like, you know, not like obsessively, but you know, after work. And then when you put out DLC, put out new trophies, because that gets the audience back into it, more excited, they come back to it.
Exactly.
Nobody listens to us, Andrea. We got all the good ideas. Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. That's better. No, that was good. That was way better, Kevin. Good job.
I think by the end of the week, you might get the hang of it.
It wasn't a gobble this time. They've been turkey gobbles on the first two shows, so that was at least a little bit better. He's just never heard a news ticker before. We're going to start with Uncharted not being dead, maybe being dead. Who the hell knows? Over on Eurogamer, they talked to Lost Legacy creative director and writer Sean, who I met for the first time, I believe. So I don't feel bad about not being able to pronounce his last name. Do you know Sean?
Yes, we spoke at E3 as well.
Do you know his last name? Sean SKG?
No, I don't. I just
it's
call him Sean.
C-A-Y-G. Sean, we love you. Good job at Naughty Dog. Eurogamer asked, does this mean, and he's talking, of course, about the Lost Legacy, and I'm going to get into that in a second. Does this mean Uncharted can carry on further without Nathan Drake? Do you consider this the end of its character stories? Sean responded, I wouldn't say it's the end. This thieving world is huge. There are so many characters. Even before we settled on this particular story, we were exploring Sullivan, we were exploring Cutter, and pairing each other up, thinking what would be right, what would have conflict, growth, something new, something fresh. And Chloe was the one that kept jumping out. But to say the Uncharted world is done, I doubt that highly. This is interesting. on so many levels. Because they made a big point with Uncharted 4 that it was the end of Nate's story.
Right.
And I think that, and we won't spoil all of Uncharted, we won't spoil Uncharted 4, but we'll get, they said it was going to be the end of Nate's story. Okay, that was definitive enough. And I think there was this belief of, well, what, it, before we played the game, how could you continue the story? How can you, can there be an Uncharted without Nathan Drake and all these different things? People always point to the epilogue. Colin always pointed to the epilogue and was like, that could be the seed. There's a million seeds for a new Uncharted. I just don't think, you know, what I take away from it, you know, I mean, but to say Uncharted World is done, I highly doubt that. I highly doubt it too, because I think nothing ever dies in video games. But this has to be years and years and years away, right?
Well, with the amount of money that PlayStation has spent investing in this franchise over several years, it would be, frankly, asinine for them to throw it away at this point, especially since it's done critically well with each iteration, obviously some better than others. I mean, I'm really excited for The Lost Legacy. I've always said that I would love a standalone Sully game. I think that he's a fantastic character. I would love to see him, you know, have his chance in the spotlight. Of course they're going to make more Uncharted games. I mean, obviously we all want to see what else Naughty Dog is going to do besides, you know, The Last of Us is coming out.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, this makes sense. I mean, I don't know why anyone assumed that it was going to go away. It's not going away.
Here, Sean Clarkin wrote in, just like you can, to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, and says, Greg and Andrea, crushing it, by the way, with KFGD. In March 2017, Naughty Dog co-president Evan Wells said the following in an interview with Game Informer. Quote, I would say that Naughty Dog doing an Uncharted after this, parentheses, Lost Legacy, is unlikely. Now, Uncharted The Lost Legacy, creative director and writer Sean, that last name, is suggesting the series could continue. With Naughty Dog being a wholly owned subsidiary of PlayStation or Sony's PlayStation division, Sony controls the rights to the Uncharted brand. If Sony wants to make another Uncharted game, but Naughty Dog declines, do you think we could ever see an Uncharted game from another studio?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think they do it, though? I could we? Yeah, 1,000%. You lay it all out perfectly. Don't get me wrong. It's not like Naughty Dog has, they can do whatever they want, but I feel like you'd go in there and be like, hey, we're thinking about doing this. Like, they gave Jack to High Impact Games to the Lost Frontier. And it was like, okay, cool. They were done with Jack. They had tried to do Jack and it didn't work out. And that's how they got on the road to The Last of Us in a weird way. So if they had any interest in ever coming back to Uncharted, I don't think you'd see them turn around and be like, all right, well, Sucker Punch, what do you want to do?
Oh, I don't think that they would maybe go to another high-profile studio like Sucker Punch. But, I mean, look at what, you know, Vicarious Visions is doing with Crash. Naughty Dog was like, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So I think we could maybe see something along those lines, something smaller, maybe a standalone, like, you know, short single-player experience. Yeah. But, I mean, we're speculating on something that's probably years and years away.
Yeah.
I remember after, you know, when Uncharted 4 was releasing, some of these same conversations came up and nobody had a clue that Lost Legacy was in the pipeline.
Sure.
You know, they kind of, you know, bait and switched and like, oh, Uncharted is done. We're putting this story to bed. They didn't hint at all that, like, you know, this great story between these other characters was coming up. So could that be the case here? Absolutely.
I feel like when we talk about Sly, you know, them coming back and like, okay, cool, Sanzaro is going to do this Sly Cooper game. All right, they're going to do this Jack game. You're going to do the remaster release of Jack or whatever. Or I'm sorry, to Crash. I feel like, yeah, that's the whole thing, is that people are done with those games, and I don't think they have. And I think that Uncharted is, with all due respect to the franchise I just mentioned, too important to give to, all right, second party studio that we want somebody to make an Uncharted game. You know what I mean? We want you to go do that, because I think what they have here is the ability to sit on the Uncharted franchise for a few years, and either when we get to the PlayStation 5 life cycle or whatever, and you need a big E3, you close with, you know, Sony Interactive Entertainment presents, and then it's the Naughty Dog logo, and it's like the Vuvuzela or whatever, and it's the epilogue grown up a few, you know, but you need time to sit and process that. And I think what they're running into is an interesting thing. Let me jump ahead here in my notes on this story, because I have stuff here at the end here, because they're talking about The Lost Legacy, right? And they're talking about how this, you know, so here we go. It feels like Yeah, okay. This is back to being the Eurogamer part. It feels like you've made a conscious decision for Lost Legacy to come out at a certain price. It's not the same cost as Uncharted 4. It's more than most DLC. Somewhere in the middle. What would you say to fans who are saying it's still not worth the money? And then Sean says, it's a full game. It's kind of the sum of all the Uncharted. It has fantastic set pieces. We've brought back some of the scale, the grandeur you saw in the trailer, giant archaeological sites, the sense of wonder and adventure where you're not sure what's around the next corner. For me, Uncharted has the sense of, oh shit, we're exploring someplace no one's ever been. We brought that back here. What I want to point out is that I think, and this is weird.
Well, and all of Uncharted 4's multiplayer is shipping with that game.
My point with this, after seeing more Lost Legacy 83, talking to Naughty Dog for a while, is the fact that not only myself, but I feel the PlayStation community, the audience in general, has been sleeping on Lost Legacy. The fact that it is a $40 game, it's coming out August 22nd, it's on a disc 2, it has all the multiplayer of Uncharted 4, it's rumored to be 10 hours, it has a platinum trophy. Like, I feel the way they talked about Uncharted 4 and the season pass will get you, you know, a single player story expansion or whatever. I think they set it up in a way that we were all expecting, oh, this is just going to be an hour or two of Sully or Young Drake or whatever the hell it would be. And the fact that this is, I think, the test case for the new, hey, could Uncharted continue on without it? And I think that it's going to work for and against them in a way that I think a lot of people are going to ignore it and think, oh, it's just DLC. And then people are going to get on board with such low expectations.
Do you really think a lot of people are going to ignore it? I don't think that at all. Yeah. I think, you know, we saw a great gameplay demo at E3. The graphics look fantastic. The story looks really intriguing. I think a lot of people are going to buy this right away and play it.
I mean, my callback would be, I think, Left Behind, not doing as well as it should have in terms of Last of Us DLC.
Okay, that's fair.
And it would also be the fact, and this speaks more to my second part of like such low expectations, in the fact that when you went to the PlayStation booth, right, you're seeing we gave our game of the show to Insomniac Spider-Man. It's all over Detroit. It's all over God of War. Naughty Dog had some, but they didn't have them in the same way they did when it was Uncharted 4. Because for this, I think people are looking at it going, oh, it's DLC. That's really cool. Can't wait to play it. I'm looking, man, you know, it's coming out at a good time. I won't be that busy. I think people are going to come in with such low expectations for Uncharted: The Lost Legacy that they're going to be like, oh shit, this is actually important. This is actually cool.
Well, I think that's great for Naughty Dog. Low expectations mean they can hopefully impress.
I agree. I just hope that like it's one of those I don't want it to be ignored by the audience and then have that be the reason that there isn't an Uncharted Cutter game or there isn't an Uncharted Sully game.
I mean, I have to imagine if Uncharted is actually tracking to make a new game, like a full like Uncharted, you know, colon whatever subtitle game, not Uncharted 5, obviously, but that's already in the production. Like the production for that is already underway, pre-pro or funding or like a general timeline. I would hope that Sony wouldn't cancel it based off reception. And if you look at the history of what Sony has done with their first party in general, they don't really care what the reception is of their first party stuff. I mean, third party is, you know, kind of a different beast, but I mean, first party games, you know, can lose money and it doesn't really matter to PlayStation.
Yeah, you get a few strikes. Write me an email, cool. What's going to happen with Dreams? A couple interesting points from this interview with Sean to round it all out. They asked him about open world games, right? He gave a quote about it. And he says, when we find a way to do things in an open world, I think we'll definitely venture there at some point. And then talking about the team and what's happening with Last of Us Part 2. He says, right now, the studio's focus is Lost Legacy. We have a truly ambitious schedule. The Last of Us project is working, but at a slower pace right now. The entire team is on Lost Legacy. That's a couple hundred of us strong. So I think, as always, to set people's expectations on when to expect The Last of Us Part 2, not for a while, probably.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what they said at PSX, too. So.
Yeah, of course, but then I predict it's not going to be out for 2 years, and people are like, what are you talking about? You're crazy! It's a fall game!
Definitely not fall.
No, not a fall game at all. Do you expect them to... Like, my thought process is they're going to get Lost Legacy out, switch over to Part 2, and then whatever they're doing in pre-production, I think will be a new thing. I don't think it'll be Uncharted. I don't think it'll be Last of Us. I think they'll switch over to like, hey, we want to do a new IP. We want to try something different.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see something different from them. I don't know. What are you asking me to speculate?
No. You had said like if they were going to do another Uncharted colon something, it would be already in the works. I don't think it's that point at all. You know what I mean? I think they're going to sit back for a long time on it and reflect on what the feedback was. Did people care about Chloe as much?
So you think it's like at least 5 years out?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think that's for the best too. Because think about like if you just let that chill, and especially if you stop giving quotes like this, we're like Uncharted is we're done with Uncharted for now. We're moving on. You know what I mean? And then it'll be one of those things that every E3 or PSX we hope and expect and want an Uncharted thing. And then when it finally fucking happens, people lose their goddamn mind. They'll tear each other's faces off like they're on bath salts.
It'll be great.
Exactly. Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
This is a collaborative show. You added news stories to the docket while I was doing the morning show. What do you got for me?
I did. Well, some press releases came in while you and Tim were live. So this one is a little bit, I don't know if I'd call it news, but technically it is. So Ubisoft has released the Far Cry 5 E3 2017 gameplay. They're calling it a premiere. A lot of outlets had this gameplay last year. So this specific video.
Last week.
Last week. This specific video shows the dev team kind of doing a walkthrough of the gameplay.
Sure.
Really highlighting the three companions that you can now play with. The guns for hire, the fangs for hire.
Gotcha. So this is the one where they walk through the bus and the people are down there like that and the sniper takes them out.
Exactly.
And I think it was Tim who said it was Metal Gear. It was like, oh, Quiet the Sniper and your own D-Dog and all this different stuff.
I mean, yes and no. I don't think it's like Metal Gear at all.
I think it's an easy way to wrap your head around the companions. That's all.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. And so did you get to play this at E3?
No, I saw it at Judges Week, and then we broke off into different groups to go play different things and stuff. So no, I didn't. Did you?
I did get to play it.
How is it?
It's really fun. It feels a lot like Far Cry. Having the companions is going to be interesting. They all play a little bit differently. I personally played with Nick, the guy who has the plane.
Sure.
He can kind of come in and drop bombs on people. A lot of my colleagues played as Boomer the dog, because of course everyone
who
wants to
have
a dog companion. But Grace is really great as well. If you are more of like a shotgunner, or you like to melee and get up in people's faces and kind of go in guns a-blazing, it's good to have, you know, a sniper class kind of watching your back from afar.
See, I think you're going to play Far Cry, I assume.
Obviously.
I'm very excited for it. I like Far Cry a lot. I like the American setting. I'm interested to see how it all plays out in terms of, is it a serious story mixed with the regular Far Cry, or is it going to be all off the wall stuff? For me, I think I'll go with Boomer the Dog, because for me, these are games where I like being alone, if that makes sense. And I think having a dog always makes more sense on why I'm not getting the assistance I maybe exactly need. You know what I mean? Whereas like with human companions, it's always like, you see me in trouble. Help. Why do I got to tell you to do anything?
Well, in fairness though, Grace can revive you. She can heal you, so she can come to you. So she like auto teleports to you and heals you if you're down in the field.
Okay.
I mean, and there will be, I mean, you can swap your companions. It's not like you have to pick one and that's the companion for the whole game. You can switch them out. I'm assuming that there will be several different scenarios where it makes sense to have Boomer, where it makes sense to have Nick, where you're going to need to use Grace. Obviously, we haven't seen more than this one gameplay demo, but I would say just keep your eyes
open. Okay.
Yeah, don't say you're only gonna have Boomer. He's great, but I mean, when you need to drop a bomb on someone, Boomer can only take out one guy at a time.
It's true. That's smart. I didn't think about that at all. What else you got for me?
Well. I know we're going to talk about the Sega thing in a minute.
We can do it now if you want, if that's in your order.
Well, it's in the order on the sheet here.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about Sega forever. Because I haven't thought about Sega in never. No, I don't know.
Sonic Mania, we're just talking about Sega yesterday.
I know, we gave Sonic Mania one of the approved awards. Sega forever was announced today, Andrea.
Yes.
Did you read all about it? You saw the trailer?
I saw the trailer. I was like, what is this game?
The idea is that Sega is bringing all of its classic games from all of its consoles to iOS and Android devices. The idea is that the games will be free when they're ad supported, so you get little ads in there. You can pay $1.99 per game to get them ad free and have them all there. Sega will add new games every 2 weeks. There's leaderboards, achievements, controller support, and the first line of games is Sonic the Hedgehog, Phantasy Star 2, Comic Zone, Kid Chameleon, and Altered Beast. So Sonic, all right. Phantasy Star, all right. Comic Zone, come on. Stop trying to make this a thing. It's Comic Zone, they shove in everything because they're like, people saw it all the time and thought it looked cool, but they didn't play it. And then you play it, you're like, this wasn't good at all.
The only game from this list that I actually spent time with was Sonic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sure.
I played a lot of Kid Chameleon.
Oh, yeah?
Loved Kid Chameleon.
Would you pay $2 to have it on your iPhone?
No. A lot of these games don't hold up. Altered Beast, still one of the worst games of all time. Altered Beast is like that game. As a Sega kid, we were all like, "Nah, this is great. Let's trick ourselves into liking this thing."
This is the problem I have with a lot of these remaster or HD versions of really old games. A lot of these old games were great when they came out, and they really don't age well.
Yeah.
And we're seeing more and more publishers and developers really jumping on this remastered collections train, and all I keep saying is there's so many amazing new games out there. Yep. Between what's on Steam and in the App Store, you know, on both of the consoles. I mean, and even Nintendo getting into Nindies on the Switch. Like, why would you not spend your time and money on really exciting new stuff that is fresh and has a new story? I mean, certainly there are a few classics that sure. are worth revisiting.
Crazy Taxi's eventually coming, they say.
But, like, I mean, I don't get it. I'd really love to see the breakdown in numbers between how much the production costs them and how much they're making in profits from sales.
I think this doubles back to this games industry biz article over here, right? Where they had talked about, they had a longer form interview with the guy at Sega who's in charge of all this stuff. And I think what they're doing here, it isn't, I would venture to say this isn't even really aimed at us at all. This is aimed at my friend who remembers playing Sonic on the Genesis with me, but doesn't do that now, but occasionally plays an app. Now, for the first time ever, he's going to have it there. Because we've had the PS3 and Xbox collections before where it's like, oh, I can play Sonic and Altered Beast and all that. I probably played more Altered Beast for bad platinum trophies than I ever played it in real life, right? The quote, though, from Games Industry was, Sega Forever is in no way an isolated strategy. It ties in with the publisher's overall plan to capitalize on its past glories. Back in May, a corporate strategy presentation revealed the company hopes to boost game sales by 50% by 2020 by reviving major IPs, and a network of nostalgia-driven mobile titles could be the key to deciding which ones. So maybe my friend who picks it up and, you know, plays Sonic is like, I remember Sonic, and then through an ad or something else finds out about Sonic Mania, and it is on the PlayStation that he uses just for Netflix. Maybe that's the angle they're taking. It's got us talking about Altered Beast again.
I mean, sure. I mean, I think the thing that we're also not discussing is how well are these games going to adapt to, like, the glass touchscreen controls.
Terribly. Right? Oh my God. You know, right? Crazy Taxi's coming. Like, that sounds awful. God, Crazy Taxi's all about getting that boost over and over again. How am I going to get that on a touchscreen? That's going to be terrible. It's going to be awful.
Yeah.
But it's also another way that, I mean, Sega always needs money. Every company needs money. They're pulling that, you know, lever we always talked about with Nintendo, where when are they just going to go third party, put their games out everywhere, put them on phones, put them on console, do all this different stuff. But it's the opposite with Sega, where it's like, I fucking put in a piece of toast and not pop Sonic. It's like, stop. He's everywhere. He's in every machine. I don't need this. Nobody wants this much Sonic.
He's just desperately trying to catch up in popularity to Mario.
Exactly. In that same games industry biz article, they had this quote from the guy Evans behind all this about 90% of the games so far in Unity. The reason we chose Unity as a middleware is it enables us to take this content to other platforms as well. So my first focus is mobile. It's a huge project, and what I really want to do is get mobile right. After this, there are options. We can look at desktop, Facebook. We could even take these games to consoles like Switch. I like that he calls out Switch, because I'm sure PlayStation should be like, no. I put these games up for free. We sell them in a million other places. Why are you doing this stuff? What are
exactly.
you doing? Yeah. I put a question here from Prince Jackson, who wrote in kindoffunny.com/KFGD. I'm trying to see if we already answered this by talking about it, you know? I was a huge fan of Sega growing up, and I'm stoked for Sega Forever. I don't know why. But I'm not sure about the mobile-only concept. Do you think they will ever convert this to certain consoles, such as the Switch, in the near future, while keeping the free price tag? If so, would this be beneficial for Sega? It'd be beneficial for Sega, but it wouldn't be beneficial, I think, for any of the platform holders to have a game up there for free. I'm sure there's some thing that has to go on there, but you're putting the ads in there, and the free-to-play is a thing that works on consoles in to some respect, but not run away for a small game like this. Again, when these games are for sale in virtual consoles or in PSNs and Xbox Lives, there's a million ways to get Sonic and Altered Beast that don't require you to go in and use this portal that's really just putting Sega money in Sega's pocket.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that comes to other platforms. Maybe it'll be like $4.99 for all like five or six games or whatever, something cheap, but I doubt it would be free, because there's really no incentive to, you know, do in-app purchases for a game of this type when the in-app purchase is merely to take away the ads. That kind of ecosphere just doesn't exist on console or PC.
Yeah. What's your next story? How many more you got?
I got two.
Look, a baker's dozen!
We can kind of...
almost forgot.
We can kind of do them together. So these are two really big esports stories. And the reason I bring them up is, I mean, obviously there's announcements and news about tournaments and things all the time in the world of esports, but these are two kind of big ones. So Twitch and Blizzard have announced an esports partnership. Over on Game Informer, they wrote, they announced a 2-year worldwide partnership. The deal includes third-party live streaming rights to select Blizzard esports content and special game content for Twitch Prime subscribers. Twitch is acquiring the third-party streaming platform rights to an assortment of Hearthstone, Heroes of the Storm, World of Warcraft, StarCraft II, and Overwatch esports content. The deal runs through 2018, supports the competitive sphere of Blizzard's esports properties, including the games that I just listed and their corresponding circuits and championships. So this also includes special in-game loot and deals for Twitch Prime members for Overwatch, Hearthstone, and Heroes of the Storm. And beginning on June 20th and running through mid-August, new Twitch Prime members will receive a golden loot box for Overwatch containing one guaranteed legendary item, along with 3 other additional in-game emotes, voice lines, and character skins. You can see other promotions for Heroes of the Storm and Hearthstone later this year. So this is kind of a big thing. Obviously, esports is really huge for Twitch. Locking down a partnership with Blizzard is great for them because they really are the, you know, third guy in line behind League and Dota as far as like popularity for esports. I mean, obviously CSGO is up there too, but this is a really big thing for them. So what do you think about this? Do you care about this?
No. Yeah. And that's my question for you is like you've covered esports ad nauseum. My question for you is, do you foresee a future where, and this is a weird thing to say, I guess, but where esports matters to everyone in some respect? Like, where does the dam break where it is a person like me who doesn't like any of those games, respects them, fine, don't get me wrong, but I'm not motivated to go to one of these things? Where, like, is it has to be a game I fall in love with, will bring me in, or is it going to break out and there'll be personalities? Or how do you see it all working out one day?
So the way that I've always kind of talked about esports, you know, breaking through to the mainstream audience is that it needs to be with a game that's very easy for everybody to understand. If you take a sport like American football, we start watching football from a very young age, usually, if you watch football at all. And you start learning the rules kind of gradually. And maybe even if you don't watch it on a regular basis, you can get the basics, right? Like the one guy, the quarterback, throws the ball, somebody catches it, they have to bring it to the end zone. Obviously, it's much more complicated than that. but like if you've never watched football, you can kind of understand what's happening on the field.
Sure.
That's why the Super Bowl is such a giant event every year, and a lot of people go just to watch the commercials and like eat wings and whatever.
Hell
right?
Yeah. I'm speaking my language.
So in order for esports to get to that kind of level, the game itself needs to be much more approachable.
Gotcha.
I think right now the only game that's really, well, there's kind of two that are super approachable. The first one is Rocket League. This is a game that's super easy to understand. It's just a few players. It's really like who's going to score the goal and watch people do really fancy tricks in the process. So I think that's why we're seeing, you know, Rocket League really explode in growth in esports, and they're actually like the next story.
Yeah,
which
you
want
I'll dropping I saw it earlier today. I didn't
So NBC Sports Group is launching an esports tournament with Psyonix for the first ever 2v2 International Rocket League tournament using the Faceit Gaming platform. The Faceit Gaming platform. So this news comes from Deadline. It will also tap Comcast's regional, national, and international assets as competitors vie for up to $100,000 in the prize pool. So the finals will be in Germany. No, they'll air. The finals, it doesn't say actually where they are, but they're going to air on Sci-Fi.
An undisclosed location.
In the UK, Germany, Australia, and multiple countries across Latin America. So this is a huge thing for video games at large.
Yeah.
That a group as large as NBC is partnering to kind of bring esports to a mainstream audience. The other game I was going to say that could potentially break through is Overwatch. Now, Overwatch is, you know, obviously a basic like FPS, like that kind of gameplay is easy to follow, but I mean, knowing who the characters are, who the heroes are, what their abilities are can be a little bit more challenging.
Right. How does it all work together?
Right. Yeah. Like how they pair up against the other enemy heroes and things like that is a little, it's another layer of complexity.
Yeah.
And even the littlest bit of complexity can be off-putting to people who don't play the game.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
And that's why, you know, esports is huge, but not as big as traditional sports.
You just put me on my ass because Rocket League's a great answer. Rocket League, I could totally see being the one that bridges because I've always talked about it in the way of when we were doing preview events for it, I was playing it and having so much fun. And then it came out and I came back a weekend later and everyone just beat the shit out of me, so I stopped playing. But I still, I'm excited for the Switch version, I always say, right? Because it'll be fun when we finish shows just to sit around here and we all have our Switches and we do a quick game. But I can totally see that being that gateway of, oh, I've played Rocket League. That's great. Oh, it's on TV. Cool. And you do it and people are doing cool tricks. They are doing fun things. They're working as a team.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got these really cool customized cars just pushing a, you know, a soccer ball around
the
field.
Yeah, exactly. Easy to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
Huh. Good answer, Andrew Renee. Thanks, knew I brought Greg. You on for a reason. Let's see what's out today with the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every day.
He was cueing you, Kevin.
Good job, Kevin. Good job. Go wide, Kevin. Let's see. Out today. We teased this one yesterday because it was such a big release.
Yes, I heard.
Tim couldn't hold back his excitement for Chess Ultra coming to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation VR today. Now, like I said, I thought it was a laughable thing. They gave me a funny press release. I watched the trailer. And I was like, oh, this does look like a really good game.
Did you never play Chess Master?
No, I don't know how to play chess. I know how to play checkers. Stop there.
I loved it on PC, and I loved it even more when it came to SNES. Yeah. I was a huge Chess Master fan. My dad and I used to play all the time, and we had like an actual physical chess board. But when it came out as a video game, you talk about a game that's one of the oldest games in humanity,
yeah.
coming to video games. It's cool. I didn't know this was coming out. I'm going to check it out.
Are you going to play in VR?
I'm not a big fan of that, of wearing the headset, but I'll try it.
Okay, thank you. Do it and do a let's play.
Like, okay.
I'd come to what's good games to watch that.
Okay.
You're doing some of VR. Speaking of too, this is a side note here.
Yes.
You mentioned football, obviously. You're a big football fan. Do you play Madden?
I don't, but I'm really excited about Long Shot.
Right. Yeah, that looked awesome, right? Okay.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, it's mostly because I don't have the patience to play Madden. I have played Madden. I played last year and did a fun video with Pam back when I was on G&D about Super Bowl predictions.
Yeah.
But I'm going to definitely check out this new campaign.
Yeah, that looked awesome. Okay, cool. We hired Andy. He's a sports fan. I was like, oh, do you play Madden? He's like, no, damn. I'm like,
what?
Come
on, Andy.
I fall out of the Madden thing because I play it for a while, but I just get bored playing the same seasons over and over again. It's, but playing people, that's great. Rest in peace, Bobby. Fran won't let me go back to him. also out today, over on the Nintendo Switch, Oceanhorn, Master of the Uncharted Seas. Or Uncharted Seas.
Monster?
Monster of Uncharted Seas.
I don't know what Oceanhorn is.
What? You don't remember Oceanhorn?
No.
Oh, dude. So here's why you should remember Oceanhorn.
Okay.
One day, I was just looking around the PlayStation store. Oceanhorn came out. I'm like, that looks interesting. Bought it, played it. It's just Zelda. Someone just copied Zelda, the art style,
just ripped
everything,
that IP.
The sword, the shield, copied it. It was an iOS game or maybe even an Ouya game before that or whatever. Took years, finally came to PlayStation. This is what I'm going to take credit for, talked about it enough that they ported it to Vita finally. It came out of Vita a couple weeks ago. And then they were like, we're also putting it on Switch. And I was like, we already have a Zelda there. That one we don't need as much. But no, it's actually a fun little Zelda clone.
Okay.
So yeah, check it out. But check it out on Vita, of course. Support the Vita, it lives. And then over on Xbox, Super Bomb Bash is out on Xbox Live today as well. In terms of, for the list, new dates that are coming up, Pillars of Eternity Complete Edition is coming to PS4, Xbox One, August 29th. Maybe PC, but there's no PC blog for me to check on it. I don't know. I'd have to call Gabe Newell. That seems like a lot of work. And then City Skylines for PlayStation 4 has finally been announced. It's coming later this year.
There's one more.
Lay it on me.
Yeah, so I got another press release while you were in the morning show. Steep, Road to the Olympics.
Oh.
It's coming on December 5th this year. I know I think you guys were talking yesterday about how December looks pretty empty.
Yeah.
So this is the official video game of the Olympic Winter Games.
This is the one they teased at the Ubisoft conference, right?
Yes.
When the lady came out to talk more about Steep.
Exactly. It's coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Okay. Interesting. First person that tweets me and says, hey, Greg, give me that Steep code. I'll DM back a Steep code. And it's when I see it, because you're going to tweet me a million times right now. So you really got to play this game, because I got a whole bunch of Steep codes I can give away. We do the thing occasionally, deals of the day, if there's something interesting. Yesterday, I talked about it, and I did some PlayStation stuff. Tommy Boyd wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and said, since you did the sale highlight of yesterday's shows for the PlayStation Network, here, I figured I'd highlight 5 games that are on sale from Xbox during their rarities and deep cut sale. It ends June 26th. Thank you very much for this, Tommy Boyd. He calls out Three Fourths Home, which you can get for $1.65. Three Fourths Home is awesome. If you haven't played it yet, totally pick it up for there. Rogue Legacy, another amazing game, $3.75. These are ridiculous deals, Andrea.
I mean, that's like a coffee, right?
Exactly. The Turing test, Actually, I didn't play $6. Crypt of the Necrodancer, $3.75. My head broke there. And then from our boy Lauren Lanning, Oddworld New and Tasty for $6. And then I'm tossing in there too. All Lego Dimension packs are 50% off at Toys R Us and Amazon. Not looking good for Lego Dimension, but you can get them at a steal now. You wait a little bit longer, probably also be a steal then too. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Andrea, you ready to check in with the readers and the listeners?
Oh, I am ready.
These questions all, of course, come from kindoffunny.com/KFGD. First up is a story I didn't put in to the thing, because it's all rumors and speculation at this point. So it doesn't belong in the Roper Report, because that's confirmed news.
Yeah, well, I mean, this also comes from a very questionable source.
Reverse Flash says, VG247 has an article up this morning about a possible L.A. Noire remaster in the works for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, with possible PlayStation VR support. This is being reported from a Twitter user, Yang2295, who has apparently had credible leaks in the past. What are your thoughts on a possible L.A. Noire remaster? I thought the game was fantastic.
I fell asleep three times playing this game.
The game was not fantastic, Reverse Flash. No, don't do that, please.
Fantastic is not the correct word. It was not terrible. It was not a bad game.
Yeah.
But there was just the gameplay just did not get me. I just did not, really enjoy my time with the game. It was too slow. I was spending too much time laughing about how broken the driving mechanics were in that game.
Well, even the face things too, where they were like, it'll be ticks or whatever. And it would be like you asking me Greg, is your name Steve? And I'd be like, yes. it was okay, I think he's probably lying. And then it'd be the ones where I knew I was finally done with this game and I beat it. But when I was I'm so over this game, when I'd be let me see your, check-in log for the hotel. And you'd come up and it would be your finger. And I would just go, just down the page until finally I was like, oh, this is the one. I'm like, all right, great. She did check in here. That game was not, it had a lot of great ideas.
Yes.
But it totally did not come together.
The execution had much to be desired. I get why this could be really good in PSVR if they overhauled, the things that were wrong with the first one.
And that's the thing.
I don't know.
This is where we get into the weird minutia of, is it a re-release or remaster? One of the questions I didn't make the cut today. People were asking about this. What is the definition? Because Crash Bandicoot, right, is all new assets and built from the ground up, but it's using the same thing. So is that a remaster? Is that a re-release? And because people have been walking the line during their E3 interviews.
Crash Bandicoot's a remaster for sure.
Yeah, that's what I say too, but some people are putting out differently. If they were to do, hey, we're doing a new LA Noire experience and it was PlayStation VR, okay, we're doing something different. Just to take the other game and bring it over and make it run on these consoles, I'd say no. And I don't think Rockstar would be a part of that either.
Well, they would have to be a part of it in some fashion.
I don't
think
they want it. I'm sorry, but I mean, it's not happening. I'm saying I don't think Rockstar sees the value in that.
Well, they're just raking in that GTA Online money.
Right.
they're fine just spending their time making Red Dead 2.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is I think putting something out there, especially one of their, not least successful game, one of their more recent misses. Right.
Yeah.
This would be putting Max Payne 3 out again, where it's well,
that was a great game.
Yeah, but it didn't do what they wanted. Rockstar likes being Rockstar. They being, we made $1 billion in a day. They don't like being, we put this game out and it was good, but it didn't sell that well and people had problems with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm very indifferent to this news story.
Yeah.
I'm cool. If it comes out, great. If it doesn't, I'm not surprised.
It ain't coming out Reverse Flash and it wasn't fantastic. Take it to the bank. Josh from Toronto, Canada wrote in and said, with the oversaturation of zombie games in State of Decay 2's E3 trailer being viewed as a Last of Us knockoff, would it benefit Undead Labs to put State of Decay 2 in Microsoft's Xbox game preview program before releasing a full retail version, i.e. giving them some time to disclose and fix technical issues while introducing the core State of Decay mechanics to new audiences before launch?
This is actually a very interesting idea. I think that they are definitely not going to do this, but they could benefit from it. The people that are going to buy this game probably were big fans of the first State of Decay.
We were.
or you like zombie games in general. There's plenty of people out there that do. Putting it into, taking a big kind of tentpole first party game into the game preview program, I don't know if that's the direction that Microsoft wants to go with.
They wanted to have a punch. They wanted to have an impact. They want to have a story behind it. What's interesting about State of Decay 2 is the fact that, in the predictions episode, I was talking about how I think it's going to be, it's going to have this AAA push. It's going to look all this in. And it had a long trailer at the press conference. And that is, I didn't hear people saying it was like Last of Us, but I just missed that probably commentary on it.
I mean, it's, I think
it was that, somber. It was a somber trailer.
Yeah, I think that's a mischaracterization. Saying it's, I mean, sure, they both have zombie type characters. That's about as far as the comparisons
but my
go.
Thing was, when I went behind closed doors and sat down and watched them play it and stuff, you watch this game and it's like, as a State of Decay fan, I'm like, yep, this is everything I wanted the sequel to be. It's, this is increased, this is more detailed, co-op's there, I can fire off flares to get help. It's like, it's going to be a game that is going to and this is interesting, and I always talk about it, maybe it's just because I'm not, you know, embedded in the Xbox community like I'm the PlayStation community, but this is gonna have to be a game where, oh, State of Decay my friend liked the first one, maybe I'll try the second one, because it'll be people like me, if they don't fuck it up, coming out and evangelizing how great this is, everyone should play it. But I don't think you can get a marketing campaign behind it, because it is such a dorky zombie game. It isn't a zombie game that is like, yeah, you hit them with the doors and you beat people up, but it is like, oh, this character is good at being a gardener, so she's not good at fighting, so make sure you leave her at base, but if the base gets overrun, you know what I mean, like it's a lot of management. Like, do I want to build more bunks or do I want to build a water preservation tank? It's like, it's not jumping into, you know, whatever zombie game you love.
Yeah, it's not
shooting
Dying
things
Light
in the head. Yes, thank you, that's a good example. For some reason, I was getting hung up on Stubbs the Zombie, and I'm like, that's not even remotely what this game is like or anything like this. James Whalebait 99 Krill writes in and says, how do you decide what games to play when releases are so close together? Do you pack all your time into fully committing a few games, or try a little bit at a time and get as many as you can? How do you do this? We get a lot of games.
Yeah, there are a lot of games. I think if there's like a release date where there's three like big games that I want to play at the same time, I'll usually go with the franchise that's most exciting or interesting to me first.
Sure.
And then I'll maybe go to the shorter of the gameplay experiences. So if it's like a 3 to 5 hour game versus like a 20 to 30 hour game, I could knock out the shorter one first, be done with it, and move on. I mean, I still haven't spent more than a few hours with Zelda, because I know once I start it, it's going to be like a, you know, like a 75 to 100 hour thing for me. And I'm finally getting to a point now where I might be able to start it in July.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
But you got everybody's golf coming up, don't forget. That's on the horizon.
You know,
Pat upon somewhere in the summer.
Yeah, those are games that you're really excited about, Greg.
Yeah, you're goddamn right. No, I mean, that's how I let it speak to me too, I think, in the fact that it was exciting on one hand to leave IGN and start Kind of Funny, because it was like, all right, cool, we can just play what we're passionate about and not have to worry about it. But 2017 is literally chock full of games that I really, really love. And so I find myself going back to, all right, well, I don't need to beat it for review. Like, I've played it and I like the mechanics and I've done it, but maybe maybe there's something new that I'm more interested in. Maybe I feel like I've missed the conversation. There's not much I can do. Like, Persona is a great example of, like, I will get back to Persona. I love the Persona series. I've put 30 hours into Persona 5, right? But I had to put it down and move on. So now it is. Yeah. When will I get back to it? I don't know. I need to, but I'm also not hung up on, I don't feel like I feel guilty sometimes, but now I feel more guilty of like, oh, Dead by Daylight's out. Well, still going to play another match of Friday 13th. You know
what I mean? Hey, I'm just as guilty doing that with Destiny and Paragon. So.
Well, and that's the thing, is we say guilty, but it's really like, we're just playing what we like. Does it matter? You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird thing to feel like we're so invested and we owe the video game industry so much. Like, there's so many little games on there that I see on my tab where I'm like, I should play that, but I'm just going to keep doing this right now.
Well, I think that it's a balance. It's a balance between, you know, especially with a lot of live games that are happening now, or multiplayer games that are, you know, continuously updated, that, you know, you have to continually check in with those communities, but it's also important to give time to some games that, you know, you maybe would have overlooked otherwise. But I think now that, you know, we're kind of both doing our own thing, it allows us to pick and choose what those experiences are and how we split our time between them.
Good point. Good point. Fair point, Andrea Renee. Fair and balanced. Matt Hopkins wrote in, and this one, we haven't done this. The show's still developing. This is question of the show. This is the best question that was written in, because I learned something.
Okay.
Matt Hopkins wrote in and said, why is nobody talking about Hidden Agenda? This was revealed at the E3 pre-show and has seemingly been branded as just a PlayLink game by most people. But Until Dawn is one of my favorite PS4 exclusives, so why is nobody else losing their shit about how cool this looks? Well, I'll start from the top. You already said it in there, Matt Hopkins. This is why you don't have a pre-show that reveals a bunch of games.
I was really disappointed in the way that they did that this year.
If you're going to do that,
send out the press release immediately afterwards.
For a week leading up, scream from the mountaintops, our pre-show is going to reveal games, so that I'll know to start my pre-show even earlier and then watch your pre-show and talk about what you're talking about. And I'll just comment on Sid Schumann the entire time, what he's wearing, how he's dressed. But No, Hidden Agenda is one of the three supermassive games that got announced. Supermassive, of course, the people who made Until Dawn. Hidden Agenda is the one that we're about to talk about. Then there's Bravo Team, which is like the first-person cover shooter. Then there's The Inpatient, which is the one set in the sanitarium or whatever from Until Dawn, but 60 years early, maybe 50 years earlier. But Hidden Agenda, I had heard about. Supermassive got three games out. Great. I've been 1,000 miles ahead until this question from Matt. So then I went and looked at, are you familiar with it?
I am. I mean, I hadn't seen the gameplay demo, but I looked it up and I have a little description here.
Sure.
So Hidden Agenda is an action adventure game played from a third person view. The player controls homicide detective Becky Marnie and district attorney Felicity Graves, both of whom are involved in the case of a serial killer known as The Trapper.
The Trapper.
The game features quick time events that determine the outcome of the story, including a character's death or survival, much like Until Dawn. Mm-hmm. With a play link feature, others may join in the game to vote for a specific decision to be made using their Android or iOS smartphones. One player will at some point receive a secret objective or hidden agenda, which is intended to create conflict between the players as they try to prevent it from happening. So this is 1 to 5 players.
Exactly. It is awesome looking in the way that it's I was trying to describe it to Kevin after I watched the trailer, which you should all go watch. It's a great trailer for it.
Yeah, the graphics look great.
It's totally, hey, what if Until Dawn was a board game kind of thing? In the way that, like, you're all playing with your phones, you get your own pieces of information, you have your own hidden agenda, and then you all, so like the option pulls up of like, do you shoot the guy or try to save the hostage? And then you all vote on what's happening. Hence why some people are going to pull for questions or things they wouldn't necessarily want to do. It deals out cards, you do all this different stuff. And it's like, it's the way people played Until Dawn, and that's what they talk about in the trailers. They watched people play Until Dawn, and it was a single-player game, but it was, I'm playing this tonight, everybody come over, and we'll try to make the decisions. And so, with the different cards being dealt out, with the different choices, with the different branches, it sounds like it's going to be an awesome fucking streaming game, an awesome party mode for us here, kind of funny, awesome Let's Plays and stuff like that. And yeah, it's coming in 2017. Ars Technica in their article about it described it as short, no length described, but if it's got multiple endings, multiple things, different cards, I think it could be really, 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 really fun.
I'm totally okay with it being short.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
It makes it easier to stream.
And it's all replayability, right? They're like, yeah, you're going to keep coming back to it the way so many people did with Until Dawn, but Until Dawn was a giant experience of trying to get to that alternate ending and not get one of them Wendigos at the end. God, it crushed me. One of Hayden Panettiere died. My only person I lost. Because I was never ready for the controller not to move thing, where it was like, keep the Until Dawn's a great game. Kevin, is Until Dawn a great game?
Hell yeah.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you.
I was like, what's he doing over there?
Final question comes from Woon. He says, hey, Greg, new lady.
Woon, my name is Andrea.
Don't worry, the question just gets as absurd as too. You talked about Xbox One X and said it was PS4 Pro. You're right that it had no good example of the power. I don't know that the power is actually there or not, but what it does have is support. Xbox's show was filled with games that will support the X games that have already come out that are going to be updated for it, and the point that old games will run better on the hardware without even needing an update. If PS4 Pro, Kinect, or PSVR had this kind of support that Xbox had at their show, they would be worth something. They would be something worth talking about.
Woon, you're wrong.
Thank you. That's why I was like, I was going to correct you, Woon, when I first saw it and said, hey, lady, I was going to address it to, hey, Andrea. But then I read it, and no, you're just a wrong person all around.
I mean, there are dozens upon dozens of games. I would even venture to say hundreds of games that have PS4 Pro support, whether they've added in new features, whether they've upgraded the resolution, whether they've made them native 4K on PS4 Pro. I mean, there are so many games that have support, but Sony didn't need to highlight any of them because the PS4 Pro came out last year.
Yeah.
There's no reason for them to go back and talk about old news at their E3 press conference.
And when the PlayStation 4 Pro had its event, it did say, hey, these games look better, and this is the thing. And yeah, granted, absolutely, lots of them had updates. You're like, Xbox One's won't even need updates. Who the hell cares? I don't care. Update it if you need to.
Yeah. So, like, Woon, this is just a classic, like, maybe ignorant kind of a question?
Oh, it's pretty clear what's happening here, Woon.
Maybe you just didn't know,
You think
Woon?
I'm a PlayStation fanboy, you're an Xbox fanboy, and you want to start shit, but I won't allow you, Woon. Right now, I'm hugging you through the camera. Kevin, give me my one. It's okay, Woon.
I would really love to see a definitive list of games from Xbox that are going to have Xbox One X support. We still haven't gotten that yet, like a complete list of games that came out, like, you know, since the console launched that have support. We have seen that for PS4 Pro. So, all right, Xbox.
Put up or shut up.
Give me the goods.
Yeah, exactly. For your system. That's just a PlayStation 4 Pro, and I'll say it again. Kevin, it's time to squat up. Just calling you out for no reason. Don't worry. This is, of course, where one of you lovely people writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. And you tell me your name, your username, your platform of choice, and why you need someone to come be best friends with you online. Today it's Brandon. Now, Brandon gets a shout out because this is the first time I've seen this. You might ask, is it PlayStation? Is it Steam? No, it's SWTOR. He's out there. SWTOR, whatever. Star Wars The Old Republic he's playing. SWTOR. SWTOR. His name there is Eben Hawk. EBONHAWK. Then I guess his username or guild is the Imperial Remnant. This will all make sense, I'm sure, to you SWTOR players. He says, a very small guild with strong forum, role play for writers and webcomic makers. Hell yeah, all right. If you're playing the Old Republic, everybody go find Eben Hawk, EBON, new word, Hawk, part of the Imperial Remnant, I assume. He didn't give me a lot of to go on. Feel free to explain yourselves on why you need support. And like a lot of people are just like, I'm cool. I'm like, that's not enough, but we're filling it out. Show 3. No big deal. We'll get it all together one of these days.
We're workshopping.
Workshopping a lot of things. There's a segment on kindoffunny.com/KFGD where you can pop on, look, and you put in your suggestions for stuff. A lot of people want a lot of different things. You fill time now. Remember, you can call us out for being wrong. I still need to figure out a good transition for this. This is the biggest sticking point right now, I feel like, in this show.
Yeah.
Is the whole kindoffunny.com. Then you go over here, you go do this, delete that. Oh, damn it. It auto-filled.
Wait, what are you looking up the website right now?
No, the one where we're wrong, right? Where people tell us that we messed
up. Oh, the corrections. Yeah, we probably should get them going before we go live.
Well, you can't because we have to do this. Well, you mean have the page open.
Yeah.
I'm usually good about that, but day 3, didn't do it today.
Well, I could have pulled it up over here.
I mean, I don't want to stress you out. You know what I mean?
I'm here to support you, Mr. Miller. We're
remember,
a team
if
now.
If we screw something up on this show, you go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, the right you're.
Let's see. Kind of funny.
This is somebody helping me about something.
/ you're wrong. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Right.
Ignacio Rojas says, we had known for a long time before Lost Legacy was announced that we were going to get an Uncharted Story DLC. Right, but it was DLC and then this became a full-blown game. Right. I know what you're calling out, but yeah, just putting that out there. Somebody's breaking the rules. That doesn't help. See, you guys aren't playing by the rules of it. We got here. Okay. People give more information, more context, which I'm not against either. LV589 just wanted to let you guys know that this year the E-League Invitational for Street Fighter 5 was broadcasted live last month on TBS for every bracket final and the grand final during the primetime hours. And
well, it was on ESPN during EVO last year, the Street Fighter as well. So, I mean, like, there's lots, to be clear, like, there's lots of games that are being broadcast now, thanks to E-League.
Sure.
Which is great, and obviously ESPN is getting into esports in a big way as well. But I picked these two because they were particularly big and important announcements.
Rocket League's a big one.
For what I would consider, if you're a mainstream gamer, if you're not super hardcore into esports, these might be things that might draw you into esports.
And then the final kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong thing comes from Tries Noy. He says, real quick, the emailer asking why nobody was talking about Hidden Agenda may want to know that your boy Patrick Klepek has been shouting out from the rooftops about it over on Waypoint. I don't believe that. I think Matt Hopkins probably told Patrick Klepek about it as well. And that's how that happened. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily for June 21st, 2017. Thank you for watching. Remember, I need you to be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Go there, leave your PSN names, your Xbox names, your questions, all that different stuff. We're doing the Friday the 13th. Let's play on Friday. Get ready for that. Go subscribe right now or sign up for it, I guess. kindoffunny.com/F13. Rate, iTunes, podcast, all that jazz. Andrea, of course, is from What's Good Games. I'm always afraid I'm going to screw it up, but I nail it every time. It's a new thing. Like,
yeah,
when I had to spell out, when I do like the acronym for Kinda Funny Games Daily.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we, our show launches every Friday. We changed our streaming schedule this week to Thursday. So if you feel like you missed it yesterday, don't worry. You didn't. We're moving our streams to 6 p.m. Pacific time on Thursdays, and that's twitch.tv/whatsgoodgames.
Cool.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Until next time. Friday.
It's been our pleasure to serve you. Give me a handshake. There you go.